that no doubt you've always wondered about. Genesis 1:46. Hey, I know you're going to enjoy this series.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Workmanship. You know, that's an interesting word, but I suppose where many Christians go wrong is they feel they've got to do it themselves. Man cannot save himself, which is a work. We're going to deal basically with the Greek today, but also the Hebrew in a place or two. I'll call your attention to it as we pass it. But the word workmanship means, well, it has many uses: to do, to bring forth, to produce. And in God's sense, it is a divine product that he brings forth, such as his own son on the cross, bringing forth the gift for you, that within it, by faith, your work of salvation is finished by him and accepted by you. But there are works we're to do. Why? We're his children. And so we are given, always remember this, the basics of serving God. Man should always do what God commands. Man should never do what God forbids. That's where people get in trouble. So simple, and yet through life's paths, they lose sight. Always do what God commands. It isn't difficult, because he gives you the power, the strength, and the blessings to just really mow it. Some people get drawn off on crazy trails and paths of man's work and instead of God's, and here you go. You're going to go in the ditch. So let's start with the very principle of can-do type people. It's to follow God's command. Proverbs chapter 4, this is not the reason we came here, but I'm going to back up so you get the drift here. Verse 5, get wisdom. This is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Doesn't mean just read the word, understand it. Work with it until you do. If you can't work with it and find it, ask him to explain it. He will. It'll pop into your mind if you're sincere. Forget it not. I don't know, are you forgetful? Well, all of us are to a degree. But don't forget wisdom. Where does it come from? The beginning of wisdom is to acknowledge and love your father. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Hey, anytime you do. Now, he didn't say some preacher's mouth. He didn't say some nut off out here in the fifth field. He said my words. That's here. And as the Holy Spirit gives unction, I mean, you can be led astray, and you know what? If he loves you, oh, are you going to the woodshed? You better say, kiss the paddle and say, thank you, Father. I should have stayed focused. I didn't. Forgive me. Don't forget. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. What's wisdom going to do for you? She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. That means common sense. Practice it. When you see something going down that doesn't even make common sense, you know what it is? It's a bunch of foolishness. You see it in our Congress and in our nation quite often. Recognize it for what it is, a bunch of malarkey passed off under rhetoric and spins. You've got common sense. It's the most wonderful thing that God has given you, is to be able to have spiritual discernment, which means to apply your common sense to a set of data and facts and go with it, keep your eye on it, and don't let some freak pull you off of it. It's that simple. Do what God commands you, not what he forbids you to do. The choice is yours. Hey, let's skip on to verse 19, if we may. All these scriptures we will be covering today ultimately lead up to your generation. That's why I'm choosing them, okay? The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. If you don't have wisdom to know how the end comes to about, you don't know that the false Messiah is coming first. You're going to stumble, all right? Well, Christ has promised he'll be the chief cornerstone that is the stumbling block. If they are taught and worshiped within the so-called rapture doctrine, hey, they've had it. They're in the dark. They don't have the wisdom and the simplicity that God brings forth in Ezekiel chapter 13, beginning with verse 18, of don't be stupid and follow people that teach my children to fly to save their souls. You're not in that darkness. So thank God for it. Other but for God, there go I. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Listen, incline thine ear unto my saying. You plant it, meditate on it, think about it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Your heart is your mind. Does that God commands hover in your mind? Do you meditate on it at times? When you're making decisions in your life, whether it be your business, your job, or what do you apply? Keep your mind on the path. Verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's just the way it is. It's the Word of God within itself, and his laws and commandments he brings forth, brings health. It will keep you up instead of down. Verse 23, and here we get into some of the do's here. Keep. Or better yet, guard. This takes a doing on your part. Guard thy heart. You protect your mind with all diligence. That means carefulness. Who do you listen to? Are you impressed by some spin doctor? Or do you say, what a bunch of stuff? Okay? You all know what stuff is. That can be anything. All right? For out of it are the issues of life. Your mind, actually, it's the source or the outgoing of life itself, and wisdom preserves your eternal life if you deserve it, if you follow him. Put away, here's another command, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Well, you haven't, through example, through this political year, you haven't had to listen very much to hear froward mouths and perverse lips. Do you know what perversion is? It's anything that goes against God's plan. It's perverse. Satan is perverse. He's crooked. He's not straight. So see that you don't end up following him. You know, he's smarter than a lot of people. I thank God he's not smarter than you. That is to say, the prince of the air, old Satan himself. Let thine eyes look right on. Now listen to these scriptures. They're very important in the simplicity of having God's help in your life. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't be sidetracked by every little crooked road that comes along, or every foolish, idiotic thought that some daydreamer puts forward to you. You've got better discernment than that. Well, how can I tell? Be smart. If it's not in God's Word, it's not real. Okay? It just isn't so when it comes to spirituality. 26, ponder. Do you know what ponder means? It means think. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. That's your doing. He didn't say, I'm going to do that for you. You better think about it. You better, with the knowledge and wisdom, know which path you're going to take in the workmanship that you're going to provide, producing a product for Almighty God, which is to say His house, His truth, His children. That's how you gain treasure in a time that's very soon coming. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's pretty easy to follow, isn't it? You know, you have people that if you're not careful, they'll come off with some big dream and try to get you to go left. Then maybe right. God is always not, it's either yea or nay. Yes or no? How can you be so sure of yourself? Because if God said it, that's it, friend. That's the way it's going down. That's the way it's going to come to pass. And you can count on it. My advice to you, you better pick your trail, pick your path, gain wisdom from your Father's Word, and stay in it. Because you haven't seen deceivers yet like you're going to see in the near future. You're going to see some religious deceivers that are going to work miracles that will deceive many, many people. Let's go to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Workmanship. You know, anything that won't work, what's it worth? I mean, any person that won't work, what are they worth? And I'm not talking about handicapped people. They're worthless. When God looks at you, what does He see? Ask yourself. I mean, you know that's what He sees. You know your heart. I guarantee you He does also. Okay, so workmanship, mainly concentrate on our Father's workmanship. Verse 17, chapter 1, the book of Ephesians. I want you to remember back to verse 4 in this great chapter is where he stated, I have chose my election before the foundations of this world. So that you know we're talking in a dispensational thing here. Which brings it right into your lap. Follow the subject. Watch the road. Watch the path. It is written to you who were chosen, as it is written in verse 4 of this same chapter. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, God gives that to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Now listen to me. He makes it possible for you to receive that. Do you know a verse that just thrills my soul? The verse is written in the 14th chapter of St. John. God said, if you listen to the Comforter, I will call all these things to your remembrance. If they're called to your remembrance, it means they were already there as from before. Think about that one. You know, sometimes you may get that unction to say, Wow, that is so simple. It seems like I knew that from before. Well, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, those set apart. Again, so some of you may have forgotten, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then he states, I have called you. That's what it's talking about. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness, reach out there now, of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty acts. From day one, from the first earth age, this is dispensational. It's always been there, his work has. How much of a part of it are you as far as gaining that wisdom and knowledge and following and pursuing that truth to its depth? I suppose the thing you want to know most is that he is the one from which that power comes, not you, not myself. It comes from him, and he releases it as you please him. Otherwise, sorry, you're out of luck. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, in that dimension of which all of our loved ones passed on dwell. 21. Far above principality, that means even Satan himself. That means spirits, evil spirits, spooks, even if you want to call them that. Power over Satan himself. And power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, meaning eon, this earth age, but also in that which is to come. I don't know, you want to be on the winning team? You like to win? You like to be successful? You like to produce? Then work for him. Think, it's not any big thing. Simply do what he commands. Do not do what he forbids. That's pretty simple, is it not? 22. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's why you have to talk to him to even join this church. Okay? If he accepts you, we certainly do. 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He is all power, all knowledge. He has declared way before the fact, which makes a prophecy of exactly how it's going to go down. That's why he says, ponder your path. Think, that means meditate on his advice, his work, his word. And it will be well with you. Did it not say it will preserve your life? Not only in this world, but in the one to come. I don't know, how are you doing? Now, chapter 2, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to cover every verse in this, but you will notice that in verse 2 of chapter 2, Ephesians, we're talking about of the power of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, Satan himself. Do you let him trick you? Do you let him trip you? You know what? He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you like to hear. So what do you think he's going to say to you? What do you think Satan's going to whisper in your ear? Exactly what you want to hear. So that's why you must ponder the teachings of Almighty God, so you can spot a fake when you see one. Okay, skip on with me, if you would, to verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He set it all in motion. And he made it so simple that anyone can ponder, anyone can follow. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand the simplicity in which he teaches, which he advises you to ponder, utilizing. I guess the key is common sense. Okay? Use your common sense. That is to say, get understanding. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. In other words, that salvation, I'm sorry, I don't care how good you are, and you may really be a very good person, but you're not good enough to make it on your own. Christ was perfect, and he did not mind, and he loves you enough that he paid that price for you, so that simply in believing, you are accepted. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast or take credit for it. That's something we can't take credit for as our salvation. Okay? If in the first place, many might say, well, every time I repent, I'm perfect. Yeah, but that's after the fact, friend. That's after Christ paid the price on the cross. That's the gift of repentance also. Never leave the workmanship that is ever so divine out of your mind, or it will lead you into trouble, because it makes man more than he is. It is a pleasure, and it is wonderful to serve God. It is a fulfillment in life that not everybody has, but don't ever take anything away from him. Be a part. Be one that participates in workmanship. Peima in the Greek tongue. Produce, do, made, created. It falls in many, many, many veins. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Now that says it all. There is the word, peima. You want to know who you are? You are his workmanship. He is your father. He created the soul, which is the thought process that dwells within your mind. That is his workmanship. Created, this here comes the divine, in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does it mean, before ordained? I don't know. What do you know about the before? And what did some do that they were ordained or foreordained to do certain things? Well, think about it. And sometimes when you have time, think about Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That circumcision now not of blood, but certainly of Almighty God himself. Turn on to the sixth chapter of this book of Ephesians. Verse 5, speaking of service, with God being the workman, do you understand? He put out for you. Almighty God himself, the creator of all things, when it came time for your soul to be created, he didn't have another one like you. Oh, thank God. No, I jest, okay? But isn't it wonderful that we are all different? Wouldn't it be something if everybody was exactly the same? It'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? And here you have all these diverse, beautiful personalities and knuckleheads, and makes life interesting. But it came time for you, and he said, I want this person, and he created you. He knew what you would accomplish, probably in part, or hoped that you would. Think about it. This has to do with service to him. Verse 5 of chapter 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In other words, if you're going to take a man's paycheck, hey, give him his money's worth. You know? That's right and befitting. You'll sure move up that way, okay? Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. Don't you just love people like that? Usually ratting on other employees or servants and telling lies about them and gossip and stuff. Men pleasers. But as the servants of Christ, honest, true, and straightforward, doing. Do you know what that word doing is? It's payao, meaning to produce. It's from the same word as God's workmanship. Doing, be a doer, doing the will of God from the heart. That is to say, from the mind. Why? Because they have pondered the word of God. They have pondered the wishes of God. They have those wishes in their mind. And rather than they always do as best they can the command of God, not that he forbids. Just how you stay out of trouble. So there you have that word within the word doing. It's an interesting word. It goes on and on. We could do a month's study on that word alone, and you would feel all the better for it because you're a can-do type person. Hey, you can cut it, friend. Why? Because you ponder God's word and he gives you wisdom. 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That's who you're really doing it for. Knowing, verse 8, that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, there's the word again, a little different, but the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. In other words, it doesn't make the Lord any difference whether you're bond or free. Why? You're his child. You're his workmanship. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, I wonder why he made it so rough for me. Because he knew you could cut it. He knew you could handle it. And in your mission and ministry, it will set examples that will call people into his power, into his glory. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Don't, you know, you give people, some people a little authority and Lord, they go nuts. You know, they really get big time. Kind of comical in a way, but not if you have to work for them. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Hey, he created every soul. And as far as he's concerned, he doesn't respect one above another. He may love one more than another for their works. The pay-a-o, part of the family. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's only one way you can be, and that's when you come to the conclusion, the absolute fact that in him is where you draw your power. In his name is your power. I'll tell you what I'll do with you. You know, we have some people that drive from all the way across this nation to come here to be cleansed of evil spirits. Now, if you think you've got a lot of power within yourself, I would not do this. I want to make that very clear. But you try to cast them out sometime if you think you have the power to do it. You know, I guarantee you, you would bite off a lot more than you could chew, and you wouldn't sleep good for months. Satan would chew you up and down and spit you out. Why? You can't do it. Christ can. And you have to do it in his power, in his name, or you're treading water and about to sink. I'm just saying you need to always bear that in mind because sometimes we think pretty highly of ourselves. And God has a way of bringing us down and kind of humbling us a little bit, all right? Verse 11, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's coming, friend. You all know, there's not a person in here that couldn't just about quote the armor of God, so I'm not going through it. But I do want to read why you have to put it on. To stand against the wiles or the fiery darts of Satan. He's coming, friend. That old prince of the air, do you know who he's after? Do you think he's after somebody that's going to jump in his little wagon to fly away? Uh-uh. He wants those that oppose him. He's a religionist. And he has this great desire to cause you to believe upon him. And he has a bag full of tricks and miracles. Because, you see, he practices workmanship as well. Make sure that you don't get drug into his net. I think I want to, conclude this. No, I've got one more place. Let's go to Hebrews. Just popped into my mind here. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, this is where Christ did away with all blood ordinances in this chapter. It's declared. And in this 10th chapter, I want to go to with verse 35. Listen to it. Verse 35. You're all familiar with it. This is where he said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." He did it for you. Okay? Verse 35 of chapter 10, the great book of Hebrews. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Do you know that in this generation, if you teach boldly, having done your homework, that people are going to say you're arrogant simply because you know what you're talking about? They have been so long used to the law of precedent, both in civil law and biblical law, that they can't get precedent out of their mind. And God is against that. Okay? In other words, this good brother thinks this and that good brother thinks that. Which brother do we believe with? Well, you better believe with God. Okay? I'll just cut it just the way it is. Don't listen to men. Listen to your heavenly Father. You are the workmanship of his hands. He knows what he wants to do with you. And you've got a reward coming if you do that. You're going to be somebody. I say that, and you should receive it humbly, because to be in his house is a wonderful thing. 36. "For you have need of patience, that after ye have done," underline that word, paol, "after you have done" what? "Done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Don't do it. Do his commandments. Don't do what he forbids. And he means that word, well, why are you harping on the word payal? Because it means you're supposed to do it. He's not going to give that to you. You have to do the action there to believe. And to do what? The will of God. Well, how do I know the will of God? From his word, of course. It's very simple. And do you know something? He never asks more than you can do. You might receive the promise. What is the promise? Of course, it's eternal life with everything. I don't know why. It seems the last time, three times I've taught from this platform, the thought keeps banging back into my mind of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which stipulates that God will never do something to you that isn't common with everyone, and that he will never tempt you beyond what you're able to bear. And this is the promise, then: he will always, always show you a way out. Always show you a way out. You're never trapped with him. It's the most beautiful promise. And it's not in heaven. It's for today. Receive the promise. That's my word. Do, be a doer, can do. 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Beloved, I really believe we're moving in on that time. And anyway, in this lifetime, you better be ready anyway. God's word will never change in this world age or the one to come. So you never waste time absorbing the word of God. 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, what are you going to do when Antichrist appears? If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You're flirting there with the unforgivable sin. That is very important, beloved. 39, to document to for you in your mind that that's what it states. 39 reads, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, the workmanship of Almighty God. You know what the word perdition means in the Greek? It's one of the primes of Satan's name. It means he who perishes, to be deceived by him when he appears on this earth. Don't fall back. Watch your road. Watch your path. Ponder in your mind that you are going to do before the fact. Even file an alternate plan occasionally in your mind. If this happens thusly, then, and that's impossible, I will divert this way. All pilots have to do that at times, unfortunately. But it works also in your life. Don't ever quit. Be a doer. Practice the workmanship which he began, which is your wonderful, beautiful soul. The very workmanship, peyama, of Almighty God. You are so precious to him, and when you let him down, it hurts him terribly. Why? You're his child, and he loves you so much. What's coming to my mind now is Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts. Kind of says it all. Do you all know what happens there? Stephen gave a Bible lesson as he was about to be stoned to death that covers the whole message of God's plan from Adam almost down to this time. Do you know who was there to hold the clothing of those that stoned him to death? Well, it was Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. But he was there. But if you ever heard a preacher in your life, Stephen, though he died for it, was a preacher. Go with me to Acts chapter 7, I believe we're going. Stephen never fell back, even though he was chastened to the death by the enemy. He received his reward, and his reward was from Almighty God. If you ever wonder about how God's plan is going down, read this 7th chapter. Stephen died for it. It's a great message. I'm going to pick it up kind of in the middle. This is your father speaking. And I'm thinking in terms of his workmanship, okay? Verse 49 of the 7th chapter of the great book of Acts of the Apostles. Heaven is my throne, that's your father speaking, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, question, saith the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest, question. Now listen carefully, verse 50. Hath not my hands made all these things? Guess what that word made is? Peo. His workmanship. I created it all. Do you think God's going to let somebody mess it up too bad? You know, he's quoting here, and I'm going to digress just a little bit, but I feel maybe somebody needs it, okay? Well, we got time anyway. He's quoting from the 66th chapter of Isaiah. Don't turn there. We're not going to go there, but you can make a home study of it if you wish. And he made this statement about he created everything. But then he continues on and said, hey, some of you religionists today, when you bring something to my house, if you kill an ox, it's as though you killed a man. You're a murderer. And some of you that let the blood of a lamb might as well be a swine. In other words, he's not happy with the religious community. And he continues on. When he made this statement, and it clicks, it ties to this time. So make a little home study of Isaiah 66, verse 1. Read about the first 10 or 12 verses. God, it's important that you log it in your mind. God created everything. Now, you can build something. You could build a building like this, but do you know something? God made that material. So guess who it really belongs to? And that little room of yours, that is my room. Who do you think created the lumber, brick, or mortar that it's made from? He did. Okay, so kind of, you know, man kind of needs to humble himself occasionally does God expect you to knuckle under that? No, but be appreciative. Respect him for that. That's all. 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. He's talking about the Kenites. Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted and have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers? Wonder why they got mad at him. He didn't mince words, did he? I mean, he's calling them some, he's telling the truth, it's straight on, because they were the murderers at the crucifixion. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. They were scribes all the way back to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Hey, when you do God's word, don't ever worry that some person writes some filthy rag sheet about you. They start gnashing. They can't help it. Divide, conquer, and destroy. But it is written, when you follow his word, your character is such that you can drink poison, which simply means you can handle the serpents, which is to say Satan, and your character will withstand anything they throw at it. All right. Well, Stephen's did. Why? Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, and behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Do you think those Kenites were happy to hear that? Well, listen, 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. I mean, good luck, teachers. Good luck. Hey, many of you might think, well, we don't have to worry about things like that anymore. Well, don't be too sure, my friends. Don't be too sure. They just do it in a little different way. Click on the internet sometime. I won't waste my time, but they got some. I don't know. I do so many things I never even know about. It's amazing. But see, I hope I wasn't supposed to enjoy it, because if I did, I missed the whole thing. Okay, 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. God had chosen Saul from before. God knows his children. Now, Saul wasn't throwing stones. He didn't participate in the murder of Stephen other than by his presence there of watching the clothing. But how this would it would have to haunt him in his days of ministry when he would say, I'm a greater sinner than all of you. Had to haunt him. And of course, Saul's name was changed by Almighty God to Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So, being a doer of God's word, inasmuch as God was the doer of you, I mean, I've got some news for you. Just make a note if you don't have it memorized. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. For you that say, well, I might get around to giving God my soul someday. Do you know what Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says? All souls belong to me. Sorry, it's too late for you to give him your soul. He's got it, friend. It's his, bought and paid for. Why? He created it. Workmanship. And a workmanship not ashamed of his work. Poor little Saul, standing there, would be chosen and used to write most of the New Testament. But he had to experience that truth so that when the Spirit approached him on that road to Damascus, then God would let him know the workmanship, as it would be written in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, that he had chosen him for three separate ministries, and he used him for it. Three levels he taught. Peah, work, can do, positive. You know how you can afford to be so positive? Hey, Satan's a loser. I mean, the only way that he can cause you trouble is when you go to sleep. By that I mean you're not being careful. And we all do occasionally. You know? But that's all right. Don't give up. Rear up and take names and kick what? Kick dragon, of course. You're a can-do type person. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for your workmanship that is your family, our family, Father. Use these, Father, and let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. We ask it in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Pam from Colorado, you said Eve was the mother of Cain and Abel, but Adam was not their father. Would you please explain? Well, Adam was the father of Abel. But you see, Eve, as it is written in the first prophecy of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, that at her first conception, it would bring her much sorrow. And of course it did, because Cain was born of that experience, which probably in the Greek you can find where Satan beguiled Eve, which is to say, wholly seduced. Why do you think Cain was so evil? Where did he get that from? He didn't get it from Adam or Eve. And then Jesus himself, in St. John chapter 8, verse 44, speaks of the first murderer who was Cain and tells it very clearly that he was of his father, the devil. And naturally, in Matthew chapter 13, it makes it very clear that the devil planted the evil children on this earth. Marcia from Indiana, where can I find in the Bible that Jesus will return at Mount Zion and that we will be changed into spiritual bodies? Well, now, I don't want to embarrass you, but he's not returning to Mount Zion, okay? He's returning to the Mount of Olives, which is next to Mount Zion. But he returns to the Mount of Olives and opens a way from the east, not to the east, but from the east to the main gate. And Mount Zion is leveled and the new millennium temple is put underway. Let's take the Old Testament. That's the best place for you to observe that. Zechariah chapter 14, fantastic chapter, has all, even the changing of bodies. Sounds a little scary to some people if you don't understand that you're simply by the eyes melting in the sockets and so forth like wax. It means the changing into spiritual bodies into another dimension. But it sounds horrible when you read it in English. But they did a fair job of trying to convey the picture. Sean from New York, is there scripture in the Bible that says every event in our lives is known before we live it? No. Not at all. Why? Well, because you have free will. Now, I guarantee you that all the major events are written in the Word and you're going to live through it, but where will you be? Will you be serving Satan or will you be serving Christ? Even God's election have their own mind and can choose to go wrong if they so choose. So there is one thing God will not or cannot do, and I know this upsets some people, and that's why I say will not as well as cannot. He created his children because he wanted, well, for his pleasure. Was he lonely? Well, they were created for his pleasure, so we have to assume they were. Where is that documented? Last verse of Revelation chapter 4. But he wanted his children to love him. Why didn't he just zap them into that, saying, well, because that wouldn't be real love. Real love can only originate within an entity. Therefore, God had to give us free will in that sense, as well as election, whereby one could choose to love him or go to hell. It's that simple. For truly, if you don't love him and you do love Satan, you're going to hell. That's it. But the choice is everyone's to make, all right? Again, I will shorten that to recap. The Word will tell you exactly what's going down in the end times. Where you will be as that goes down is your choice. Jackie from Tennessee, please document for me the proof of Cain being Satan's son. Well, isn't that strange? This is the second time this basically has come up. St. John chapter 8, verse 44. Christ was talking to those who claimed to be of our brother Judah. But as we know well from 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, they were Kenites. What's a Kenite? That's a Hebrew word that means sons of Cain. They were already keeping books for Judah, our brother. And Jesus himself tells them, you are of your father, the first murderer. Well, now, who was the first murderer? Well, it was Cain, of course. Everybody knows that. And you are of your father, the devil. Therefore, you don't hear my words. Can a Kenite be converted? Yes, they can be, if, but only if they choose. And I'll repeat again, the parable of the sower, which if you don't understand it, Jesus said in the great book of Mark, you're not going to understand any of his parables. Great book of Matthew, chapter 13, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, along about verse 38, will tell you who sowed the wicked seed. Children. Gary from, that's Matthew 13, Gary from Virginia. Who was E.W. Bullinger? When did he live? Where can we find biblical information on him? You're not going to find any biblical information. You might find history of his work on the Bible, but there is no biblical information. He lived in, I can't remember the date of his birth. I know he died sometime around 1910 to 15. So he lived in the 1800s. He was a great scholar and a mentor, as far as I'm concerned. He was, when Ginsberg brought forth the only true Masora that is left, then Ginsberg chose Bullinger as the only Christian who was allowed to edit the Masorah and Ginsberg's work thereof, of which I possess a copy, some others do. It's the original footnotes that went with the manuscripts. So Bullinger put together the companion Bible, leaving man's thoughts out of it as best he could, and simply stating facts. That's why it's called a companion, because you have the advantage of a great scholar and his thoughts. I recommend him. But always do your own study. Well, I'm out of time again. Hey, I love you all a lot. Know why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this broadcast. Most important, God loves you for it. It's the letter He has written to you. And we're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He'll always bless you. Most important, this, you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Know why? Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.